Hello, everyone. Welcome to Metanorn's Mini Talk on Ald Noah Zero. I'm Jero, joined by Kyokai this week.
Hello, people.
And we are talking about episode 6, Steel Step Suite, which I admit I can't correlate the title to the content of the episode.
Yeah, same here.
Before we get started in the episode, I was looking at the female Martian Knight from this episode, and I was looking all around for her name, and like my anime list didn't have her character profile up yet or anything like that. So I went to aldnoahzero.com, and I was impressed by how easy it is to browse around that website, and it's not like a mess like a lot of other Japanese anime sites are, with a bunch of Japanese anime text that I can't read. So just check that out if you haven't. And they have a cool thing where it's like Asimov, like the login system for the mechs when you go to the website. But let's get started with episode 6, which is starts with them looking for Slain as he's about to escape from the landing castle and going to look after the princess. And he gets out a little easily, wouldn't you say, considering that the entire landing castle crew is after him and they're shooting at him as he's rappelling up to his ship. Quite easy for
him. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, this is one guy and there's one huge army and they are pretty powerful. And even if I understand that he's been there for a while and now he knows all the, you know, trapdoors or whatever you would call it. But, I mean, it was still kind of, I mean, I wanted him to at least get caught or, like, you know, just, you know, saved at the last moment or something like that. But no, I mean, you know, they didn't even know where he was. You know, he was just running around and he took the ship and he just went off. I mean, that was easy for him.
Yeah, and it seems like from last week, some of the confusion has been cleared up with Sawsbomb and Kruteo. And now they're thinking like, oh, he shouldn't have used the audience chamber. But the interesting thing is that Sawsbomb wants him alive because he wants to ask about Dr. Troyard's research. We didn't mention him last week, Fosh and I. But it's interesting to think that he thinks Slain knows something about his research in Ald Noah technology.
In the last episode, I almost thought the Sawsbomb is, in a way, kind of more diplomatic, or at least he's going to hear him out, Slain, at least, that, you know, what he's up to, and, you know, there is something wrong going on, but, well, no, that didn't happen. So, I was very curious about this guy, because, see, he looks senior to the new captain. What's his name? The blondie. Not the king, the other guy.
Kruteo.
Yes, Kruteo. So I was like, okay, maybe he can control something because, you know, the princess is alive and guys, like, you know, don't treat her just as an excuse for a war. But even in terms of Sawsbomb, I seem like that, you know, he just, everyone in the military or everyone, as we know, that in the night section of the government, they don't really care about her, and they just won the war against humans that they can capture Earth in the end. I mean, I don't see any other big goal in terms of them. Yes, I would be really interested to see Troyhard's experiment, because now we know that how Slain got to Mars, because there was a ship as the last episode.
Yeah.
So I'm sure his father is behind it, and I'm pretty interested to know what his research was, because maybe that's the key for the humans of actually using Ald Noah, so that should be interesting.
And I want to jump a bullet point here to talk about Rey Regalia and why he's the Emperor. It's something that the Princess Salem was mentioning about to Inaho. I almost got the names mixed up there. As they're talking about where they found Ald Noah technology and how it accepted Rey Regalia, and how he bestowed it upon the knights in acceptance for their fealty, as it was in the episode. So I could see Sawsbomb maybe being curious about that much of controlling more of it and sort of taking the powers away from Rey Regalia, as it kind of seems like Sawsbomb at the end of episode 5 seemed like the one that was really pulling the strings with Rey Regalia and getting him to call back for war.
He's like basically the king's hand, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's the king's hand, and king doesn't know shit about whatever is happening. He's just like, you know, he thinks that, you know, everyone else beside the knights are convoluted and they are working for his good or his empire's good, but in the end, he's basically being used. And from whatever discussion conversation we had seen in episode 5, I can pretty much say that, like, you know, Sawsbomb is, you know, that worm guy in LOTR kind of a thing, you know, controlling the king. That's what he is.
Yeah. And now back down on Earth, the students are drafted into the service. We see a little scene detailing what they're going to be doing and some of the different jobs. And Inaho is looking at some training manuals for the KG-7, but he's not exactly comfortable with that. There's something about the movement and the legs that he doesn't really like. And at first he's like, oh, I guess I got to deal with this. But then, as we see in the final battle of the episode, he sticks with the KG-6. Which are the orange ones, which is an important story point because that's what Slane is looking for, the orange cataphract.
I guess the whole, you know, the staring down, even when they were not really looking at each other, Slane and Inaho at the last scene and everything, it was almost like, you know, we've been seeing these, both of them, in different scenarios till now. But we pretty much knew that these guys were supposed to meet, and there's definitely something, some kind of cooperation that will happen with these. So I'm kind of really happy with the end of episode 6 because, you know, stories move along in the right way. And even with all the tech meeting up, or, you know, the hints of his father's technology, or you can say research and everything, things are coming to somewhat a close, because we already see that humans have been backed up, really. You know, there's another, you can say, our mech going after them, and they really do need help very soon.
Mm-hmm. And what's so good, as I jump forward to the battle versus Femi Anne, is that we're seeing sort of a mech of the week, monster of the week kind of approach, where we had Trill Ram for a couple episodes, Vlad for a couple episodes, and now it's looking like Femi Anne will be there for a couple episodes. But around that, stories are developing to where it just doesn't feel like we're running into a mech, we're going to fight them, we're going to beat them, and then we're going to move on. It seems like All Know Zero is doing a good job, in my opinion, of forming stories and developing them around these mech battles, which are fun to watch. At this point, versus Femi Anne and Hela, she has 6 hands that she can sort of control remotely. There's a more specific detail that she gets into. So a lot of punching going on with mech hands, and they figure out that they can knock the fist off course with some sniper shots. And this is the first time where we've seen Inaho trying to do something, but it not really working. And I'm jokingly going to ask, has being drafted into service affected Inaho's clutch factor?
Who knows, man? But I think, you know, you can't really expect him to win all the time, because in the end, the human mech is downgraded, terribly downgraded. I mean, just look at them. The technology is just like, you know, robots and, you know, Martians, goddamn, have, you know, Aldenoa. So in the end, like, they don't have any feel. They don't have anything. They have just, like, you know, just shooting capability, moving capability, and just, you know, whatever. So I'm pretty sure that he has some things still up his sleeve. But yes, you know, I did see his, I mean, there is basically no reaction from Inaho as a character. But, you know, when you see him being announced that, you know, now you guys are drafted and now it's war and whatever, you see his, you know, uncomfortableness already on his face, that it's okay, I'm going in or whatever. But you know, the gravity of the situation, like, see, when you are in war, like, I've seen war, not as a person, but like, you know, my father was in war, so I sometimes get his stories, and I understand, you know, the depression, the pain, the what can you say, just getting into the war zone and fighting and just not knowing that you will come out alive. Okay, that feeling does not hit you until you get into the war zone. Okay, so before that, you're just, okay, yeah, maybe I'll be okay or whatever. So I see the same thing on him, but he's doing it much better than Marito or Tai. That guy's in pieces.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and talk about Marito. As we've seen in a couple instances earlier in the series, that he seems to be suffering from PTSD. We've seen moments where he tries to... where we saw him fight in episode 2, but other than that, we actually see a moment in this episode where he wants to go fight, but he can't. And it seems like this PTSD about John Hume Ray, who we've seen the dog tag of many times, is stopping him. And what even makes it more uncomfortable for him is that Darzana, her birth name was Hume Ray, and she was the brother of the guy that Marito knew, and in some sense seems to blame him for his death.
I mean, that's kind of harsh for him, you know.
Yeah.
That guy is already like a lot of pain. I see him as a person who takes too much responsibility. I mean, you know, you cannot save everyone, really. So, you know, for him, blaming himself for his death, I really do not blame him. Come on, man. There were so many people, and they were completely overpowered from whatever flashback we see. You know, they're just, like, kneeling around. People die, I mean, like, dead on his side, and there's this whole mech coming towards them. That's the flashback we see. So, basically, there is nothing he could have done in itself. But I just hope that this is the second time we saw that he tried to fight, but, you know, he could not with all the, you know, dizziness, whatever he faced. I just hope that he gets out of it, because he's a very interesting character till now, because he's seen the first war, I mean, whatever that version was, and now he will be seeing the second version. So there is a lot of learning that he has, I hope, that he will share with the students. So I hope that he survives and he becomes a good learning point and, you know, gets out of this whole humoré business. I don't know that his sister is going to help or not, but definitely I hope something good happens.
And hopefully he stays on the wagon. We've seen a couple instances of alcohol. But I agree, it's a little harsh, but I could see where the show wants to kind of have a developing source of conflict between those two and then grow to accept, especially in Darzana's case, to accept that Marito is a good guy, didn't mean to, and that, you know, she'll come around on him at some point in the series.
Yeah, the forgiveness factor and just the, like, you know, growth, because we see that, you know, people who quarrel and then make up have better relationship than just people who just meet to be friends.
Yeah. So a possible ship there.
Yeah.
And then the episode closes off with Inaho not being able to stop one of the robo fist. It seems like there's a thing about the trajectory of the fist and the speed that it's coming toward them that he's just not able to knock it off course. But then that's when Slain comes in and fires a missile and stops it from hitting everybody. And Slain, and then they have that look that you saw, that you mentioned about Inaho and Slain, and that's how the episode closes off. Some extra stuff from this episode. Nina's legs, there is some focus on that in the scene. In Yutaro, this guy that we haven't really gotten to see yet, other than just, he's just kind of like a weirdo looking at Nina a lot, like, oh, she's hot.
Support guy, weird support guy.
At the very beginning of the show, Slain was telling Asylum about why the water and the sky is blue and all that stuff. And Asylum is mentioning to Inaho, and he says, well, that's not actually why. It's Rayleigh scattering. And that pout when she found that out. That was just so adorable.
It was so cute. Oh my God, that was the most adorable thing that she has done till now. So, I mean, it was so funny. I mean, I kind of felt sorry for her because, in a sense, Lane is her encyclopedia, you know? So basically, whatever he has told her, it's the last word for her. It's literally like a line in the stone, okay? So nobody can, do that. But when just, Inaho says, "No, the sky is not blue because of the, sea, what? This is this is that, go inside, Wikipedia or whatever that was, but that's how it is." So, I mean, it was so funny. I mean, this is one thing that you would not expect the princess to go over, but that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and just a quick offshoot on that is that the tablet he used looked like he was using Safari for a browser,
iPad.
and yeah, an iPad, like an iPad mini or something. Although the icons are more akin to something I've seen on Androids. Looked like he had a DM on Twitter there. He might want to check that. Although the internet seems to be down because they shot the wires underwater. And then Yuki in this episode, when they're getting ready to draft the kids into the military, she says, "Call me Warrant Officer Kaizuka," being all professional and serious. And then in the battle, Yuki's fine.
Yes, she's fine. Yuki's fine. Marito's fine. Inaho is fine. Slane is fine. SLM is fine. Who else is left? Oh, that. What was that? I think that's Nina. No. Who's that
Inca.
girl?
Inca.
Yes. She knows about SLM Hime, right? That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm
she
still
and
getting used to the characters.
yeah, and she had a bit of a fan service scene there when she got in the mech before the fight. Oh, it's a little tight in here and blushing and stuff. A lot of blushing going on this episode.
Yes, uncharacteristic blushing. You don't see her blushing, we saw it. Then it's the Hime. I was like, wow, man. I mean, at least we're seeing the characters grow, just I mean, I'm gonna say the same thing as you, that it's not just, "Hey, man, it's a new mech and I have to fight it and I'm strong." Wah. No, I mean, there's a story behind all of this, so that's what makes this interesting.
One character I'm not liking is Edel Rituo. I'm just not enjoying her character. I'm having trouble finding what the worth is other than just here's a cute little girl that's wandering around with the princess.
She knows how to ride a cat. That's all I could get from her, basically. I mean, except for that, I don't know what she's there for. Just being the moe cute character, but she needs to, work up her stuff, really.
Yeah, she needs a better contribution. So overall, this was a pretty nice episode. The stuff with Marito is pretty interesting, and another nice mecha battle, and it's really interesting to see Slain get moving now. And I'll be really interested to see what happens after this battle versus Femian, who probably doesn't look like much of a character. We didn't see that much with Trill Ram. We saw a little bit more with Vlad in terms of character development. I don't think Femian is going to get that same level, other than just being a character that doesn't really move her mech. She just moves the fist around. But all in all, nice episode. What'd you think?
I mean, overall, another good episode in the sense that, things are going in the right direction, and I don't feel that it's just another mech show. For the new mecha, yeah, I have the same feeling that she's not gonna stay around that much. We don't even know her. I mean, we saw her for the first time while the robot was, chasing them down. So I don't see her role going on unless she survives or, gets into the whole "we have to catch Slain alive" stuff. But I'm really looking forward to, for the next episode, I'm really looking forward to when Slain comes in and, what his contribution going to be for the humans, because it's I mean, I've been, since we found out that, you know, Asylum is alive and everything, I've been just saying, "Hey man, when is train coming? Hey man, when is train coming?" Because it's like, you know, these guys kind of are like, you know, not the kind of a couple, but like, you know, they are kind of a support system to each other. So, with him in a way nurturing her and she becoming the shield for her when he was in Mars. I mean, there's a very good relationship that they do have. How Inaho, you know, is gonna contribute and how they will develop their relationship is going to be very fun. So I'm really looking forward to lots of, you can say, ways that the people will be, you know, identifying and growing their relationship.
Yeah, and once we see Slane not only just meet up with Inaho, but it'll be interesting to see how, if there is a chance where he meets all of the others aboard the ship or whatever they end up on, because they're pretty much gonna have to abandon ship at this point, how all of
Yes.
them would possibly react to him. I wouldn't exactly bet on it being the most favorable, but yeah, we'll have to see. A couple episodes.
I'm curious to know one thing though, that, you know, this Dr. Troyard, so he's a human, right? So I hope that, you know, the not the kids won't know about it, but at least the adults on the ship have some inkling of who he is. And maybe the name will, you know, ring some bells, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully somebody like maybe Marito might know something about it.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see. Well, thank you for listening to our mini talk for episode 6 for Kyokai. I'm Jero. We will see you next week.
Yep, bye.